Dear friends, welcome to this worship service on the first Sunday after Christmas. As you can see, we are still in the season of Christmas until we come to the next season of Epiphany. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call to worship. A baby has been born for us, a child has been given to us, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Once we were no people, now we are God's people. Once we walked in darkness, now we have seen a great light. And once again, we light the Christ candle, representing that great light.
Skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
Friends, let us worship in prayer. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Babe of Bethlehem, with heads and hearts bowed down, we come as we are, like the shepherds, to worship you. We see the star still shining and are comforted by your holy presence. We hear the glories of the heavenly angels still calling us to be filled with your peace. We smell the warmth of the animals that watched over your birth in a humble stable. Our hearts are warmed still by the beauty of Mary's love and Joseph's faith as they hold you, O Holy Child of God. You are our hope, our peace, our joy and our love. Be born again in our hearts and lives this day. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
As we've heard, Jesus came for many reasons. One of them was to show us forgiveness for our sins. Let us come now to a time of confession. Holy God, you offer us new life in the babe at Bethlehem, but we confess that we have made something trivial, something sentimental out of Christmas. Your light comes into the world and we see only the pretty lights on trees. You shine in the darkness, but we turn away from the darkness of our world and we miss you. Your word is made flesh, but we would like something nicer, more spiritual than the humanity of God with us in the flesh. Forgive us, God. Strengthen us with the hope that cannot be packed away with the Christmas ornaments. May we who have beheld this glory hold it in our hearts forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God is the Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end. God is making all things new. You are forgiven and loved. You have been given a new heart by God. Go and share the good news that our God makes everything new again. We are forgiven, and God's people say, Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, this is chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pastor Alan Brehm writes, "Over the course of the last few weeks, we have learned that Advent is a time for waiting in anticipation. It's a time of looking for the fulfillment of the promised salvation. It's also a time to embrace the restoration and healing that God has promised to the whole human family. During Advent, we have looked in hope to the day when all flesh shall see the salvation of God, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. We have joyfully anticipated the coming of the Lord. And now we have stepped fully into Christmas. Today is actually the fifth day of Christmas, 5 golden rings if you went by the famous carol being sung before Christmas. The first day is actually Christmas Day. The 25th would be when we receive a partridge in a pear tree. The rest of the song leads us to January 6th, Epiphany. And this year, Epiphany lands on a Monday. For most of us, we have spent this time after Christmas leading up to Epiphany, actually recovering from all the ways we've sidestepped Advent waiting. You may have faithfully attended the four Sundays to hear about hope and joy and peace and love, new lessons for the same four Sundays, four weeks, year after year. You've celebrated Christmas Eve, either by being with friends and family or perhaps gathering here. You gathered together to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. In all honesty, though, within those 4 weeks, we probably didn't give much of our attention to waiting with anticipation. During these 12 days of Epiphany, we are returning gifts because they don't fit, aren't quite right, or just don't want them. And then we rush to take down the decorations. We want to put our houses back to the way they were pre-Advent, back to normal. But for many people, these days are just the beginning of a very long, gray, rainy, dreary season, where we ride out the days until springtime, when we can think of gardens and planting and rebirth. This, for some, is the beginning of their least favorite time of the year. Advent and the build-up to Christmas can be very exciting. The getting together, socializing, the giving of gifts, sharing with those less fortunate. We build Christmas up to such a height that it's inevitable that once it's over, we hit this very low time. But the good news is that the low time is when we can actually move forward from what we got out of Advent. Because Advent has shown us that it's not about waiting. Advent is about preparation as well, preparing for a new beginning. As I mentioned way back, I guess back 5 weeks ago on Advent 1, Advent is a season of endings and beginnings. Reverend Lise Gwynn Geraghty, the founder and creative director of Sanctified Art, writes, "Advent feels like a warm blanket wrapped around us, giving us courage to face the journey ahead. It feels like steady ground, a path for our feet to find a way to step forward into the unknown of a new year. It feels like the soft whisper in our ears, reminding each of us who we are and whose we are." The wise men actually officially enter the picture on January 6th, but for me, today, this Sunday between, and since Advent has ended and we are now standing on steady ground, shortly after the birth of Christ feels like the best time for me to share the wise men with you. The Eastern Orthodox Christians call Epiphany the vision of God, and the custom in Russia is to chop holes in the ice, bless the waters, and go swimming in remembrance of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. Perhaps that's where our custom of the New Year polar dip came from. The Greek Orthodox process from the church with a cross to the living body of water, a lake, a beach, a harbor, and the priests will then bless the water by throwing the cross into the water. And any number of volunteers will jump in and try to attempt to be the first ones to get the cross. The successful swimmer then returns with the cross, hands it to the priest, and receives a special blessing on their homes and themselves. In Spanish-speaking countries, it's called Day of the Three Kings, and its tradition is to have processions and fiestas and light luminaries, bags of sand with candles in them, to guide the three kings to the infant Jesus. In India, it is celebrated with a big fair outside the church with lots of festive foods, Three boys are chosen from the parish to represent the three kings. They are robed in red and draped in jewels, and they enter the church and present their gifts before the crib holding the baby Jesus. In Eastern Europe, people gather for bonfires and dancing and spiced wine. In the Philippines and Mexico, people leave their straw in their shoes out for the kings. In exchange for the straw, presents are left. In Germany, on Three Kings Day, children go house to house collecting for charity. And when they receive a gift, they chalk a blessing on the door with the letters representing the names of the wise men. In England, people go house to house singing songs in exchange for spiced food and drink, representing the spices that the wise men brought. Now, you may have heard of the carol Go A Wassailing. Here we go a wassailing. That's an English custom on Epiphany. In France and French-speaking areas of the world, January 6th begins with the season to feast on king cake. So inside the cake, a trinket is hidden, perhaps a small plastic baby or a bean, and the person who finds the bean or the baby becomes the king for the day. In almost all the cultures, stars are prominent, as well as candles, reminding people of the Star of Wonder that led the Magi and also tell how Jesus is the light of the world. In Egypt, Epiphany is known as the Festival of Lights, and in past years, Christians would make highly decorated candles called fanus, and they would gather along the banks of the River Nile to sing praise to God, swim in the water, and burn their fanus, and the celebrations lasted all night. Well, today, we don't have any fanus, and we won't be going swimming. We don't have any wassailers. We don't have any plastic babies or beans hidden in a cake. But we've lit our candles and the Christ candle, and our tree twinkles still with lights. We are surrounded by light to remind us that Jesus is revealed as the light of the world to all nations. The wise men enter our story and have come to represent all those who seek, all those who journey for something more profound than what they have. They journeyed an unknown road to an unknown destination in hopes of finding what? Despite their importance in our story, and even with all the legends and customs, we don't know much about these wise men. Tradition says they are kings. One was black, one was white, one was Asian. Tradition also says that one was named Gaspar, one was named Balthazar, and one was Melchior. None of that is for certain, though. We don't even know if there was really three of them. In the Syriac churches, there are 12 wise men. We just sort of assume that there's three because there was three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are all mentioned in Matthew. We do know that they lived east of Jerusalem, quite a ways, probably in modern-day Iran. And the Bible calls them magi, which is the plural for the Greek word magnus, which can be translated to magician. If they thought the stars influenced world events, they were likely scholars or astrologers, and perhaps they seemed magical because of their knowledge. We know they were not Jewish nor Christian. They probably worshipped the stars they studied, and yet when they saw this wonderful star of Bethlehem, they possibly knew the prophecies about the Jewish Messiah and went to investigate for themselves. They traveled to a place they weren't even sure of. They went to Jerusalem. They likely assumed that a king could only be born in a royal palace, and they ended up actually being about 5 miles away and had to get directions on how to get to Bethlehem. Now, it was anywhere from 6 months to 1 year that they had been traveling when they first saw the star. They were heading west. That time period isn't really actual either. It's assumed that because of the call from Herod to kill all the boys under the age of 2. Well, even that took some time. The wise men came to honor Jesus and go, and then they went home another route. Herod would not have heard of their departure for days, weeks, perhaps even months, because news didn't travel like it does now. The wise men had no idea who they were looking for, really. They just knew a king. The King of Kings had been born, and they had come to honor him. And they didn't find him in a stable. They entered a house and knelt down and paid him homage. The gifts they brought are debated for their meaning as well. Gold for a king, incense for God, myrrh for burial, a mortal who will die. And they probably didn't realize that their arrival also signaled salvation for the whole world. So without all the details, the wise men relied on the tiny bit they know, and they found the light of the world. And that is the message for us, that even in the midst of the darkness of this world, even in the midst of things we cannot hope to understand, even not having all the information, we can still see the light of Christ and find it. Kayla Craig writes this, "Like the Magi, we are often called to take unexpected paths and find new ways. Every journey carries risks and revelations, but God actively carves paths in the wilderness, guiding us through uncharted territories with the promise of making all things new. Each movement forward in faith brings us closer to where we truly belong. This perspective empowers us to face the uncertainties of our journeys with courage, knowing God is with us, even in the detours." So each year we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the gift of light given to us. And each year we seek the light of Christ in the darkness that seems to take over our world. Each year and each day of the year, we have opportunities to share that light of Christ. All that Advent waiting and preparation brings us to the light, seeking and finding, knocking and having the door opened for us. There is a saying, wise men still seek him. Well, being wise doesn't mean knowing or understanding everything or about faith or about your relationship with God. We're not here because we all have this figured this faith stuff down pat and figured out, and that we're such good people. We're here because we are broken and need wholeness. We need the light of Christ, the hope of light in our lives. We will always be practicing Christians. And we're here today because it is here that God feeds us. God came down in human form to shine his light into our darkness. If we admit that we still seek him, then we will continue to follow the light where it leads, seeking Christ always, no matter what comes along the way. Through darkness, ambiguity, boredom, cold hearts, wandering faith and doubt, through all of that, the light of Christ shines. In the face of tragedy or death, destruction, uncertainty for the world, anxiety, the light of Christ calls us forth to serve our neighbors and help those in need, bringing our gifts to this table, placing ourselves at his service and at the service of others. We follow because God leads us. Our creche, with our wise men and shepherds, will soon be boxed up and put away, much like all of our other Christmas decorations. We'll put them away, we'll tuck them away for another 11 months before we take them out again to prepare for Christmas next year. Another ending and another new beginning. The good news is that there is no box or cart that can keep the light of Christ tucked away. the light of Christ which shone for the wise men, leading them to a special place, continues to shine for each one of us today. Our new beginning began on that first Sunday of Advent. And if we follow the lead of the wise men and keep our focus on that star, if we keep looking up and continue to be present in all of our relationships, the presence of God will shine brightly. It'll shine as brightly as that star did so long ago. So let the star of Christ shine with you in all you do, and in you with everyone you meet. John 1, 4-5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So in January, just a few short days away, in the midst of all the gray skies and the rain, may the light of Christ shine brightly for you and through you. Amen.
He was born so far away, so the story's told. We remember Christmas Day, when winter days grow cold. With the time it passes by, we put away the then we live and wonder why we can't remember him. The Christmas star shines once a year, and then it fades away. Keep the spirit Christmas every day. It's not the bells and it's not the snow, and it's not the gifts we get, but he was born so long ago. It's easy to forget. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, but men can't go alone. We get lost along the way, but he can bring us home. Remember him throughout the year. Without the star above, he left us all a Christmas gift. He left the gift of love. The Christmas star shines once a year, and then it fades away. Keep the spirit in your heart, and it's Christmas every day.
Good morning. Holy One, Shepherd to us all, call us together now in body, mind, and spirit. Let us be in this moment joined in prayer so we may amplify with one voice our hope in you. Our hope in your creation, our hope in your peacemaking, our hope in your grace. Please join me in the prayers of the people. Friends, this is the time of the year that many of us find ourselves in deep reflection. Reflecting over our lives, we may find joy within the blessings and opportunities that we've experienced. Or, for others, reflecting on things that have been distressing and may have caused grief. We also spend time reflecting on events within our community, our country, and around the world, often with great sorrow, sadness, and at times fear. It's also the time of the year to look ahead. For some, this may look like setting goals, personally, professionally, financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. A time to focus on change. But I think this is the perfect time to focus on all the ways we have seen the presence of God moving in our lives and the lives of those we hold dear. It's an opportunity for us to focus on the ways that God is guiding us as individuals, as a church family, and beyond, to walk in the faith, hope, peace, and love each day, just as Jesus' first disciples. It's the opportunity to grow deeper in our faith, no matter where we are on the continuum, as we all continue to walk with Jesus. Lord, as we walk daily with you, we will put our hope in you today and every day. Remind us, through your Holy Spirit, to look for your guidance. Call us into your quiet presence to think on your truths. May we not be distracted by the world. Thank you that you give us the hope, help, and peace that we need. Thank you that you never cease to call us to yourself. Help us to respond afresh to your presence in our lives as we seek you daily in prayer and meditation. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk closer with you. Friends, the closer each of us walk with the Lord, the more we are able to share God's hope, joy, peace, and love with others near and far. Through our prayers, time, and finances, we can make a difference in the lives of others, especially those living with oppression, war, disasters, and fear. We lift them to you, Lord. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With thanks for all that God has provided for all of us, let's pray now the offertory prayer, offering our gifts back to God and his purposes. May these gifts open others to the blessings you give this Christmas, the gift of childlike wonder, the gift of radiant hope, the gift of peace which passes all understanding, the gift of joy which knows no bounds. With these gifts, we bring ourselves, O God, in response to the greatest gift of all, the Babe of Bethlehem, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jane Meeker, and I am the lead for the spiritual growth team that is part of your council here at St. Stephen's. We are actually an umbrella committee that covers many things. We cover the prayer groups, we cover creation care, the library, Right Now Media, Bible studies, children and family ministries. And all of those groups that encourage and enliven our spiritual growth are underneath this umbrella. Now, we have several ideas in the works, and each of them require your help. In summer, we would like to host Camp Spirit. This is sort of like a traveling Sunday school VBS group that ventures to offer camp programming that is sponsored in part by the United Church. So our part would be to provide the space, snacks, maybe do a little bit of advertising. They do all the programming, all the fellowship with the children, but we would like your help. So in the new year, we're going to be asking for some volunteers to step up, so keep watch for that. Our neighbors over at St. Mark's Church currently hosts what's called Messy Church once a month. And Reverend Elizabeth is actually retiring in 2025 and wanted to see the program continue. So she reached out to Diane and asked Diane if perhaps St. Stephen's would be interested in hosting or providing the leadership for and running Messy Church. Diane will be heading over there in January when they host it in January. It's only a once a month thing from 4 to 6. And she's going to see if it fits with our congregation. One of the things that Messy Church does is invites parents and children. It's not a drop-off and pickup. So parents come with their children and stay. They do a bit of Bible study. They do a bit of fun and games with the kids. They even have communion. And then they share a light dinner, bowl of soup, bowl of chili after it's all done, and send them on their way. It's the parents' way of actually being able to come to church when their Sundays are too busy to actually get to church, but they can bring their children to church. She says there's not very many of those people who go to Messy Church that actually attend on Sunday mornings. This is their chance to come to church and be part of what a church means. So Diane's going to check that out, and if we do decide to take it on, that is also something that you are going to have to step up and give us a hand with. Watch for more details after Diane visits in January. Now, we are excited about all the other programs we have. We've got some young families and the possibility of maybe the men's group springing back to life. All the drops that are under our umbrella require your participation. So if there's anything that's piqued your interest, please let Diane or the office know. We also talked about in February hosting what we're going to call an open house. We are going to invite anyone and everyone who is interested in participating in any way with the life of the church to come to our meeting. We will give you more details after we meet in January, but this is going to be a great time if you've decided, you know, I think I'd like to just sit on the committee and maybe help them make decisions, or I'd like to sit on the committee and volunteer some time working in the library. I'd like to sit on the committee and maybe give a hand to creation care. All of those are possible. Creation Care is now down to just a couple of members, and they need some people to come and support them in their ministry with Creation Care. Chris Lemfers is doing a great job, but he also needs some assistance doing that. So anything that piques your interest, that it that it encourages you to have some spiritual growth, we invite you to please, please think about coming to our open house in February. The spiritual growth of our congregation is at the core of our faith. Your participation, your prayers, your ability to take that step to volunteer is how churches have worked for centuries. And now is the time for you to step out in faith and do the good that is yours to do. Thank you. Go in peace, love, and care for one another in the name of Christ. And may the blessing of the Spirit, who refreshes and renews all creation, guide you as you step into 2025. Amen.
And are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, bless my beating still. His birth, hope this night illumines the earth. By its glowing, we are knowing this King is of matchless worth. Oh,